Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
You know, Jesus came and he came to set the captive free. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to restore. He came to bring liberty. He came so that we could overcome. Can you say amen? Amen. The truth is that one of two things are going to happen. You will either overcome evil or you will not. You will either overcome it or you will be overcome by it. Let me give you a scripture. Romans 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, you'll either be overcome by evil or you will overcome it. One of the two. The only way to overcome evil is with, it says there, with good. But this is not an ordinary good. This is God's good. You see, there's no in between. There's no, well, you know, maybe we can be in the gray area. I just want to let you know, the gray area is just as gray as the dark area. You're either in the light or you're in darkness. Because as soon as there's light, there's the absence. Darkness disappears. So there's no such thing as kind of in the middle. You're one or the other. And I've noticed, you know, I had even this morning, a situation where someone was came for prayer and was very, you know, affected by something the enemy was trying to do. And so it's very important for me to give you some tools to overcome the enemy. What you need to know is evil has a name. And evil's name is Satan. Yes. What I don't understand, this is not in my notes, but I need to say this. What I don't understand, and I'm not saying this to make you feel bad, but how can we let our kids watch horror movies? How can we watch horror movies? And then we want to know why we suffer with anxiety and fear. Fear is a spirit. Evil is a spirit, Satan. He's come to do something. I'll show you that in just a moment. So my message this evening is overcoming the evil one. It's time that we overcome, as Christians, the evil one who comes to destroy, who comes to bring fear, who comes to oppress us, to suppress us, to stop us from fulfilling the purpose and plan that God has for us. I'm not going to be long this evening. It'll be fairly quick. So you'll be home by like 12. Amen. God is the source of all true goodness. We see His goodness revealed in His Word. If you study the Word, you will see how good God really is and what He's done for us. As I said earlier on, evil is not something. Evil is someone. Revelation 12:9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan. Watch here now. Who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You see, the word Satan actually represents an adversary or an opponent. The word devil represents accuser or slanderer. That's the meanings. They're kind of intertwined, really. But I want you to listen to that. Adversary, opponent, accuser, and slanderer. That's who he is. That's what he's come to do. He's come to accuse you. He's come to be an opponent to you. He's come to be a slanderer. He's come to be an adversary. He's come to stop you from stepping into what God has for you. The kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. That means that when you're in the kingdom cannot be shaken. That means that fear and anxiety and torment is not your portion. When it comes, understand it's a force. That force has come to stop you from being in the kingdom. If you walk with God and the kingdom of God is not there, and it's not there, the kingdom of God is inside you. That's what the Bible says. When they asked Jesus, where's the kingdom? He said, it's inside you. You have access to the kingdom. Don't allow the enemy to come and whisper in your ear. Don't allow the enemy to bring all kinds of torment and fear and pain and thoughts of suicide and death and all this stuff. You need to recognize who it is that's doing that and where it comes from. Can you say amen? I want you to see here, it describes the devil as a dragon, and it describes the devil as a serpent. A dragon and a serpent, two things, two expressions that are really interesting. Number one, let's talk about the fact that a dragon can be scary, intimidating, powerful. What you need to know is the devil does have power. Of course he has power. He came from heaven and there was power. He had power. But Jesus has overcome. Amen? So he has no power over you if you know who you are. Amen? Okay? If you don't give him legal ground, he can do nothing to you. Is that okay? The only thing that needs to change is your mind. You need to believe that. Okay? So he comes as a dragon, fear, powerful looking, you know, this mean, evil thing. And then he comes as a serpent, slippery, sneaky, deceiving. These are the two main expressions of how he will come to you. Is that okay? This is not a good night to be in church if you're a devil. You see, Isaiah 61, verse number 3, I want to show you how a spirit or evil comes from, it's not a thing, it's actually a person. It's a spirit. Let's take a look. Isaiah 61:3 says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty from ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise, look at this, for the spirit of heaviness. What is heaviness? It's a spirit. It's a spirit. It's a demon. It's a force. It's the devil. It's his influence. It's his cohorts. It's a spirit that comes to bring heaviness, to oppress you, to stop you, to block you, to be an adversary to you, to slander you, to prevent you from becoming everything that God wants you to be and everything that God desires you to do. This is what the enemy does. So when anxiety comes in that intense way where suddenly you just overcome with it, you need to know that's a spirit that's coming against you. And God gives us a remedy there for overcoming that anxiety. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Try it. There is a way to overcome every force that the enemy brings against you in his different expressions. Fear, anxiety, accuser, all these different things that he does when he comes. Death. Suicide. How do you think suicide? What do you think suicide is? Suicide is an expression of the spirit of death that comes to try and convince you to end your life. Who do you think that is? Do you think that that's from God? That's Satan. That's the devil. That's his demons. That's them coming to stop you. To stop you from becoming who God called you to be. That's what he wants to do. He wants to prevent you. He'll do whatever he can. He'll give you a bad day in your business. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You have to oppose the enemy. You have to oppose him. You have armor. Is that okay, guys? Okay, let me go deeper. Are you okay? All right, I know this is a little different this evening. So we know that our battle is not against a physical person. The Bible tells us it's against a spirit. We know there's a war taking place in the heavenlies, that the enemy operates out of a heavenly atmosphere. Let me give you a scripture. John 8:44. No, let me not go there. Okay. So we all know that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age. We know that the battle that we have is against spiritual forces, the enemy that comes against us. It's not a natural thing. So even when people oppose you, I've taught you this, you need to know that there's a spirit behind it that's coming against you, right? So let's take a look at what kind of plan. What does the enemy, what does he want to do? John 8:44 says this. You are of your father the devil, and the desire of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. What does the devil do? He's a murderer. He's a liar, and he's the father of lies. So his accusations, his suggestions to come against you and to stop you from fulfilling your plan is those things. Listen, he's a liar, and he's a good liar. Or let me rather say this, he's a really bad liar. But he will lie and lie and lie. He will deceive. He will come and try and distort. And I'll show you that in just a moment. But he's also the father of lies. So you need to know that it's like that's what his plan is. To deceive you, to try and bring a suggestion that will convince you that it is some form of truth. And you need to know that he's a murderer. God wants you to know that Satan is a murderer. Why? He wants to stop you. He wants to end your life. He wants to prevent you from stepping into what God has for you. John 10:10 says this, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have life more abundantly. We see again, I want you to see it, if he's calling the enemy a thief is like a person, but it's a spirit. You see, a spirit is a person without a body. A spirit is a person without a body. He operates in a different dimension. But what he does and what he needs to be able to work on this earth is a body. So he will try and use your body so that he can have his way. That's why he comes to try and influence you so that he can do his own will. Or he will come and he'll try and stop you from fulfilling God's plan, therefore having his own will done. Kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. So if he comes to kill, steal, and destroy from you, what has he done? He's robbed you. He's a thief. He's robbed you. What has he robbed you of? The purpose that God has for you. The plan that God has for you. This is all written to believers. So that's what Satan does. He steals, he kills, and he destroys. We see there in that same scripture that Jesus does the exact opposite. He says, and I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. So remember that God is good and Satan is bad. God is goodness and light and love. Satan is evil. Satan comes to kill, steal, destroy. God comes to give life. You see it? Revelation 12:9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan. Look at here. Who deceives. There's the next thing the devil wants to do. He deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth with his angels, and they were cast out with him. You see, what the enemy wants to do more than anything is deceive you. Because if he can convince you of something that is not truth and you stand behind it, you're in trouble. Well, you know, it's okay for me to do this when it's not okay with God. Or he'll convince you, well, you know, you don't need to repent anymore. That's a deception. Jesus, when he taught his disciples to pray, one of the things he taught them to do was to live a lifestyle of repentance. How can we be taught we don't have to ask for forgiveness? Let me remind you. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. No, we can't take it out of the Bible because Jesus taught that to his disciples. You see, the enemy will do whatever he can to take the truth and deceive you. He wants to stop you from walking in the light. Why? Because when you're in the light, there's power. When you're walking in truth, there's power. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He'll do that by bringing deception. His greatest plan with a believer is to get us to be deceived. Because if we can be deceived, we get ourselves into trouble. Obviously, the way to find out what the truth is to go to the Word. Amen? Whatever the Word says, that's the final authority. Remember this morning I taught you how the church at Ephesus had a way to, even when the apostles would come, false apostles, they would be able to see, they would examine them to see if the truth was truly in them. That's how we should all be in our walks with God. We need to match everything we are taught, everything we learn, everything we hear, everything we read. We need to take the Word and we need to examine with a microscope everything so we know that we're receiving truth. Because it's the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that breaks the power of the enemy. It's the truth that destroys the yoke of the enemy. When the truth is preached, when the truth is released, when the truth is believed, that's when there's power to destroy everything the enemy desires to do in your life. So he comes to deceive us as well. What else does he do? 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 18. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. One thing Satan will try to do is he will try to hinder you. He will try to hinder you from stepping into everything God has for you. He will try to hinder you. He'll put things in your way to prevent you, to try and stop you. That's what he'll do. Listen, one of the things that he'll use more than anything are other people. Peter tried to hinder Jesus. When Peter said to him, when Jesus explained to his disciples that he was going to be taken and be crucified, Peter pipes up and says, "Not so, Lord, far be it from you." And Jesus says to him, "Get behind me, Satan." Why? Because immediately Jesus recognizes the force, the person that's operating. Imagine if Jesus had gone, you know, you're right. You know, why should I do that? I'm a king. I should just go and sit on the throne. You know, we've got enough people. We can overthrow Rome. We can start a revolution. But he didn't. So he chose what God says over what sounded good. Sometimes something will look good, will even feel good, but will be the complete opposite of what God wants for you. If it does not line up with the Word, it isn't truth. You can try your best to convince yourself that it's right. If it isn't in the Word, if it doesn't line up with His Word, it isn't truth. So we can't convince ourselves. One of the most dangerous things for a believer, and I've seen this happen so many times, and it's one of the most painful things to watch, and one of the things we need to watch out for the most, is when we quickly start to believe that something is okay that is not okay. Because once that darkness comes, the Bible says, how great is that darkness? And it will begin to grow in you, and it will begin to deceive you more and more and more. And eventually, you'll be in a bad place. Everybody's story is different. I can't say that this is exactly how it happened in your life, and that's exactly, and this is, it's not like that, for everybody's story is different. But there are times in our lives where we have to stop and say, okay, what's going on in my life? Who is influencing me? Who is speaking to me? Who is operating around me? And it's time to serve the devil notice and to tell him it's time for you to get out of my life. I'm a child of the King. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm a child of the King of glory. Once you begin to do that, All right, so we've seen that he's also a hinderer. Let's take a look a little bit more. Revelation 12, verse number 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of our Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. So we see he's also an accuser. He wants to listen. This is one of his greatest strategies. I did a whole sermon on this early at the end of last year. He wants to accuse you so you can be guilty or so that you can feel guilty. You are not guilty. If you are redeemed, if you are washed in the blood of Jesus, even if you are guilty, if you truly repent and go the other direction, you are not guilty. He has forgiven you. He's already made a covenant with you that even if you mess up, he will forgive you if you're sincere. He looks at your heart. Can you say amen? That's why in communion we examine ourselves. Because if we've messed up, we can, even in communion, we can remember that covenant and we can say, okay, God, I realize that maybe I have made a mistake. Well, let me rephrase that. I realize that I definitely made a mistake. You see, the Bible teaches that God is looking for those to worship him. What kind of worshiper is he looking for? A worshiper that will worship him in spirit and truth. What does that mean? That means you will worship him with honestly. Truth means that you will come before him and you will worship him honestly. In other words, I'm not going to pretend when I come to God. I'm going to be real. I know who I am. I know my mistakes. I know my faults. But when I come to him, I also know who I am in Christ. But I won't go to him and, you know, God, you know, I'm so glad you understand that I stole that car. But I worship you right now. That's not truth. That doesn't line up with his word. But if you really are sorry about stealing the car, and you have an attitude of true repentance and brokenness, he will forgive you. Now, please don't go steal a car and then repent. Amen. I'm just a stupid example. I shouldn't have used that example. But I hope you get my point. The point is you've got to be sincere. You've got to be truthful. You've got to be honest when you come to him. God loves it when we come to him and we're honest. That story of the woman at the well is just such a great expression of true honesty. The woman is so bad. I mean, she's bad, but she's honest. She's real. And when she finds out that we will be able to worship in spirit and truth and honesty and not have to do this or do that, it changes her. She gets excited. She wants to tell the whole world about it. That has the power to destroy the works of the enemy in your life. In your life, every one of you are so important to God. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't that way. You should not be walking defeated. You should not be walking in anxiety, in fear. And the list goes on. But I'm specifically after anxiety tonight. Because Christians should not be anxious. The Bible says, be anxious of nothing. So we know that the enemy came to deceive, to tempt, to hinder, to accuse. So how do we overcome this? How can we overcome this enemy who's so aggressive and blatant in his attack in our lives? Well, I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this evening. What you need to know is that it's already been done. But you need to know it. You need to know that Jesus has already overcome the enemy. He has already made a public spectacle of him. It has been done. It has been done for you. So when the devil comes and accuses and does his thing, you need to stand there and say, aren't you the one who was already defeated? Anxiety, have you not already been overcome? You're not allowed in my life. I am redeemed. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. Get out of my life. You have no place here in my life. So let's read it. Colossians 2, verse number 13. And you being dead to your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Say all trespasses. Look at this now. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed, listen to me, disarmed, everybody say disarmed, principalities and powers. You need to know that all the forces of darkness have already been disarmed by Jesus. That means that they have no power. When you are in Christ and surrendered to him and listening to his voice, every suggestion, every accusation, every deceit, everything the enemy comes is like a dog with a bark. But that dog will bark and bark. And sometimes if you go to a dog that's barking at you, you go, huh, that dog all of a sudden goes, oh, have you ever seen that? That's what the enemy will do when he recognizes that you know who you are. That you recognize that you understand what Jesus has done on the cross for you. That the handwritten requirements that is the handwritten requirement that was against you has been nailed to the cross. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. That you can stand because of the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. And the enemy can bark and bark and bark and bark. And all you have to do is say, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, devil. Get out of my life. Get out of my marriage. Get out of my finances. Get out of my children. Get out of my business. Get out, get out, get out, get out. He has forgiven you all your trespasses and having, listen, and wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. Listen, where the enemy could come and say, but he didn't do this commandment and he didn't do this and he didn't do that and he didn't do that. That's where you can say, listen, if you've not read the scripture that says the requirements are no longer, they are no longer against me. You have nothing. You've been made a public spectacle. Fear, you that comes in the night watches to bring fear and torment against my children, I take authority over you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I bind you now. I break your power. You spirit of fear, you spirit of antagonizing that comes to my children, I bind you now. I break your power in the name of Jesus. If you come into my house again, the only time the enemy has authority is when you give it to him. But as believers, we need to know who we are and what Jesus has done. And then we can stand strong and we can face every spirit that comes against us. Every demonic force, every demonic attack that comes against you, you will overcome it. Listen to what the Bible says. Colossians 1 verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, listen to this, of the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We are now in the light. We are now in his kingdom. And we need to walk like we are. Luke 10:17. When Jesus gave authority to the 70, this is what he said. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all. Everybody say all. Say it again. Say it one more time. All the power of the enemy. And look at this. And never forget this. And nothing. I'm going to say it again. Amen. Nothing Amen. Shall by any means hurt you. Amen. How many of you believe the Bible is true? So then why do we let him have authority over us? I'm talking about the devil, the demons, whatever. Fear is a spirit. He has no right to be in your life. Tell him to get lost. Many of you, your lives are about to change. Why don't you take it for yourself? Take it. What do you think an abundant life is? He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. So even when it has gone bad in your business, give him praise. Give him praise for the victory that is coming. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything the enemy has thrown at you, you just say, listen, devil, enough of you. Thank you, Jesus, for the victory. Thank you that you'll get me out of this. Thank you that you'll get me through this. I'm still here. I still have food on my table. I'm still making it. I'm still getting by. He will get you through it. Even if you had to get help this month, maybe it'll change. Amen? Don't allow the enemy to have his way in your life. Listen. Evil can be evil as well. What I mean is it can be dark, frightening. And I want to deal with that fear and that evil tonight. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here. Father, we thank you for your love and for your word that is true. We know, Lord, that Jesus has done everything that we need for us to walk so victoriously. That doesn't mean it'll always be easy. We'll go through trials and tribulations. We'll go through stuff. We'll even get shipwrecked sometimes. But in the midst of it, you will send even an angel to get us out of it or to encourage us, just like you did with Paul. You always make a way where there seems to be no way. When the enemy does come in like a flood, you always raise up a standard against him. You see, I choose to do your will, Father. Because if I'm doing your will, the enemy cannot oppose your will. He cannot stop you from doing what you desire. For you will have your way. It is already written in your word. We know who the victor is. We know that you have already overcome the enemy. We also know what it says in the end. And so we stand surrendered to your plan, to your will for our lives. Father, I pray over every person that's here this evening that they will overcome every force of darkness, anxiety and fear and depression. I come against you now. I take authority over you. I command you in the name of Jesus to go. Fear of the enemy, fear of what goes bump in the night. Who are you and what right do you have? For we fear nothing. We fear nothing except for the Lord, for he is mighty and he is strong and he is awesome. And our lives are in his hands. He will have the final say. You have no right in our lives. In the name of Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.